Praise the Lord. Tonight we'll be speaking from the 14th chapter of the Psalm, verse 2. And the message is called, Understand What? And there's things here that God wants us to understand. He says, the Lord looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek after God. Did understand what? What is it that God wants us to understand here? And I believe it's our depravity. Verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Verse 3 says, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And I believe God wants us to understand our need for Him. That without Him, we are corrupt. Without a right relationship with Him, we are foolish. You see? We are abominable. We are no good. Without Him, our need for Him. And it's just not in salvation, but in everyday life. I don't think man is aware or cognizant of his, or understands his dependence upon God for everything really that he does. For his very breath, for the water, for the food he eats, for the sunlight that grows the food. We are just completely, as a society, dependent upon God for our very existence. That He sustains these complex life forms. And this theme, this title, Understand What, it can go on and on and on. Because there's so many things to understand. But I would like to focus in that, and that it's appointed when a man wants to die. Psalm 49 says, a man in his honor and understandeth not is like beast that perisheth. There again, understand what? What is it that God wants a man to understand? A man in his honor. A man that has power. A man that has wealth. You see, and he doesn't understand that there's a judgment, that he's going to die, that there's a judgment, and that you cannot purchase redemption. You see? And understand that life really doesn't have any meaning apart from Christ. You see? You can't purchase your redemption. You can't take your possessions with you. What does it profit a man? He gives if he gains the whole world but loses his soul. What can you give in exchange for your soul? You see? A man in his honor and understandeth not, he's no better than a beast. You see, he missed the mark. A man who is wealthy, a man who is powerful, a man who has this world's wisdom, and he doesn't understand that about his judgment. He misses that there's God. He's so occupied with the things of this world that he misses. He's so occupied pursuing wealth, pursuing this world's wisdom, that he misses a relationship with God through his Son. You see, he's no better than a beast. He's just like the beast is going to die. The beast's life is short-lived. The beast doesn't understand his purpose, doesn't understand his meaning, doesn't understand what it is that life is really all about. A beast doesn't understand those things. Okay? And we're going to come back to that. But you can't purchase redemption. You can't purchase salvation. How can a man escape the damnation of hell? These are important issues. Amen? And you also need to understand that it's not going to be easy. There's going to be times when God seems like He's a million miles away. When you're being persecuted, you're living holy, you're obeying, but everything is collapsing round about you. See, you need to understand that there's going to be trials, there's going to be sufferings, that living a Christian life, those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And you need to understand that you're dependent upon God for every day. See, a man in his honor that doesn't understand that his need for God and that he's dependent upon God and the very things, the wealth, the wisdom, everything, the gifts that he does have has come forth from God. What have you received, Paul said, that you have not received from God? And people just aren't cognizant and aware of their dependence upon God. And that's what this message is about. Understand what? Turn to Psalm 104 before we go into depravity. Starting with verse 19. And this is God the Creator. The theme of this psalm is that God is Creator. He appointed the moon, verse 19 through 30. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Hang on, let me put on my glasses. All the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Verse 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. See, he satisfies every living thing from his hand. He opened his hands, he satisfies every living thing is satisfied from his hand. He gives the beasts their prey. He makes it the sun, the moon for seasons. He appointed it. The seasons, the four seasons we have. He's the one that taught the sun about going down and rising. You see, our very existence as a society is dependent upon Him. You see? And they just understand not. God looks down from heaven. Are there any that understand how dependent upon me they are for their very life? They don't. And the dangerous part is that they understand not that they're going to die. They don't think about that. They think it's far off. And that's another way a man that understandeth not is like the beast. The beast, our lives are short-lived. The beast's life is short-lived. He doesn't understand his meaning. He doesn't understand his purpose. And a man that does not understand to have God, it's just like that beast that perishes. I don't care how much honor he has in this world. Amen? I don't care how much honor. Verse 24, 22. The sun arises, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. You see, it's God that gives man the ability to labor. God that gives man the gifts to work, to make a living. The day to work, the night to rest. It's God that has set the order. Amen?
Yes.
And we just don't understand. We understand not our dependency upon Him. The beast and the lions. You know, my goodness. So is the great and wide sea. Let's go back to verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works in wisdom. Hast thou made them all? The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are all creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee. They're all dependent upon God for their food. They're all dependent upon God for their life. A bird does not fall to the ground without us, without Him knowing it. Amen?
Amen.
And we just don't we take these things for granted. And we understand not, and He's looking down from heaven upon us to see if there are any that understand that they are dependent upon Him for every single second of their life and seek after Him because of what He's given us. Because of who He is. And they understand not. Glory to God. These all wait upon Thee that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That Thou givest them their gather. Thou openest Thy hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest Thy face. They are troubled. They are afraid. That's what that word troubled in the Hebrew meant. An inward fear. Trembling. You see, if God hides His face but a moment, this earth would tremble. Everyone on this earth would tremble if the sun did not rise tomorrow. Amen? And everyone would tremble if the moon did not come forth. The sun didn't go down and the moon didn't rise. Everyone would be terrified. And it's going to be like that as a Christian. God is going to hide His face from you. But that's where trust is built. That's where faith grows. That's where patience is developed. Living a Christian life is not going to be easy. He wants you to understand that. Psalm 44. It's a great psalm. They're living in obedience, doing everything right, keeping the covenant, but yet they're going out to battle and they're losing. God's not with them. They're losing their battles. Their crops are being destroyed. Their harvest is small. Why is this happening? You see, there's going to be times where He hides His face. There's going to be times where it seems like the enemy's prevailing. You see, there's going to be, and you read the book and all these promises and great miracles He's done, and you see other people blessed, but there's going to be times where He hides from you. And when you're living in obedience and people are persecuting you, they're saying all manner of evil against you falsely, and you're going to pray, God's not going to answer. It seems He's not going to answer. It seems the heavens are as brass. There are seasons like that, many seasons like that. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. He will answer. He has a covenant. You have a covenant with God. It is an impossible for Him not to answer. All the promises are yea and amen. He will fulfill every promise He's ever made. Amen. But you have to wait. And it's not going to be easy. And you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. And He's going to hide Himself. You see? And you're going to be troubled. Glory to God. But there's coming a time on this earth of great tribulation. Judgments are all over this earth as we speak. Sin is getting worse and worse. And judgments are getting worse and worse. I don't know if you've noticed that. Okay? In the last couple of years, the size of earthquakes, I've been studying them. The frequency, there's greater frequency, but greater size. Tornadoes greater than ever. Hurricanes greater than ever. The size of them, the strength of them, the floods, rivers overflowing, greater than ever. Ever seen. That's what you keep hearing on the news. And it's because sin is abounding. And evil is getting worse and worse. So judgments are getting worse and worse. And there's coming a time of great tribulation and persecution. You see, and you're going to need God. Do you understand that you're not going to be able to buy and sell? You're not going to be able to live in this world system unless you pay allegiance to this world system. And in this world you shall have tribulation. And there is coming such a time of tribulation, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And there is coming a horn to make war against the saints and persecute them until Jesus returns. And do you understand that? Do you understand your need? For you're going to be dependent upon Him for water out of a rock. Jesus is that rock. He told Moses, speak to the rock and water will come forth. And I'm telling you, in that time, you can speak to the rock, Jesus Christ, and water will come forth. Manna will come forth. He will guide you. This is the way, walk ye in it. But you have to seek after God. Do you understand? This world we're not going to be welcome in this world much longer. You understand that? There's so many things to understand. Okay, but right here in this Psalm 104, it's a picture of man's dependency upon God and every living thing's dependency upon God for life. And does man understand that? He looks down from heaven to see, are there any that understand and seek me? How much they need me? That apart from me, their hearts are desperately wicked. Their hearts are corrupt. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that word wicked is incurable. Do you understand that through Adam you became a sinner, that you're born a sinner, and that you have a sinful nature? And unless God has mercy and changes that nature and changes your sinful heart, you will die that way. We Which one of you can say, Proverbs 20 verse 9, which one of you can say you have not sinned, you have made your heart pure from sin? That you cannot make your own heart pure. You are dependent upon God. Unless a man be born again, he may not enter the kingdom of God. By a miracle, do you understand that? That you're sinful, you're depraved, that you can't bring forth good works. Neither do you want to, because of that sinful nature. Glory be to God. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Bless the Lord. 2:1-5. See, he's looking down upon heaven. Do you understand you're spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins? Verses 1-5. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath as others. We were no different than every other person. We're all corrupted by the fall. And that's what God wants you to know, that apart from Him, you're corrupt. Apart from Him, you're no good. Apart from Him, you're foolish. And it's just because of your sinful nature. You see? It's because of that nature. And that you're a child of wrath as everyone else. And it's only because of His mercy and His love that He's changed us. But God, who was rich in His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, the believers, the elect of God, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. He has made us alive together. It's God that has quickened us. It's God that has changed us. It's God that has made us new people. Do you understand that He uses physical death to describe your spiritual condition. And that really there's nothing you can do to change yourself. You're by nature, you're sinful. Even as others. Look. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. You walked the way the world walked. You were ruled by the prince of the power, the spirit that worketh, ruleth in the children of disobedience, where in times past, we all lived that way. We all had our conversation in the world. We all were children of disobedience. We all lived according. We did what we thought. All the things that we thought, our sinful thoughts could conjure up, we would act on those thoughts, fulfilling the desires of the mind and the flesh, living according to our sinful nature, dominated by it. But God, who is mercy, do you realize how much mercy you need from God? And His love, how great His love is, wherewith He loved us. Does He have that love, that same love for everyone? I don't think so. Wherewith He hath quickened us. Wherewith He loved us. Who's the us? It's believers. It's those that were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. He loved us before time with a great love. Wherewith He quickened us. He changed us. He made us alive. We were dead. And He does use physical death to describe our spiritual condition. And that is helpless. Can these bones live? Ezekiel 37, go. This is a picture of physical death, but it's a picture of our spiritual condition in Ezekiel 37. This is the perfect picture describing what Paul is talking about in the second chapter of Ephesians. And you who were dead in his trespasses and sins. Now he's using the word dead. It's a physical term to describe the physical condition. He's using the physical condition of death to describe mankind's spiritual condition, separated from God and helpless and hopeless. apart from His mercy and apart from His grace, changing us, changing that nature, changing that sinful heart. Now we can see the kingdom of God, making us a new people, giving us a new spirit, giving us faith, giving us life. Now we can bear good fruit. Now we can obey. Okay? But until then, God is looking down from heaven. Do you understand that you cannot keep my commands? That you cannot please God in the flesh? Neither do you want to. And do you understand, believers, that it's only because of His grace? It's not because of anything you were, not because of anything you have, not because of anything you did. Only because of His love, only because of His mercy are you saved. Do you understand? Glory to God, that salvation is of God. That you have no part in it. Now here we have a picture of a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel 37, here's a picture of physical death. It describes, I want you to describe, this is your spiritual condition until the Lord changes you. Until the Lord breathes life on you. He brings these bones back to life. He brings us back to life. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Can a sinful man, amen, become a new person? With a fallen nature, with a desperately wicked heart, can he become a new person? You see, only if God changes him. You see, do you understand? Seek after God. Seek after a new heart. Seek after a new spirit. Seek His mercy. Seek His love. Do you understand how dependent you are upon Him for life, for everlasting life? Amen. How can a man escape the damnation of hell? Glory be to God. Only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, let's read this. Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones. It's a picture of Israel. Can Israel become a nation again? They were carried off into captivity. Only if God does it. You see, it's not going to be by their works. It's not going to be by their efforts. It's not because they earned it. It's not because they deserve it. It's because of His mercy. Do you understand? You need and seek after Him. Glory to God. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were dry. There's no life. There's no flesh. It's just a pile of dead corpses. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Only God knows those that are His. Only God knows those that are elect. That's why we must preach to every creature. Only He knows those ones He's going to change. Can these bones live? You see? And can a spiritually dead person be alive unto God? Can a spiritually dead person bring forth good fruit? Only God knows. Only God can make that happen. Only God can bring these dead bones back to life. Only God can put flesh on them. Only God can breathe life into them. And only God can breathe life, resurrected life into a spiritually dead man and give him a new heart and a new spirit. It's a supernatural miracle of God. And you have no part in it. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, and not of yourself. It is not of yourself. You did nothing to earn it. You did nothing to deserve it. Glory be to God. Lest there's room for boasting. Ooh. Glory be to God. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. You see? And I will lay sinews on you, upon you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I give breath. I brought them back to life. It's a supernatural work of God. These bones had no part in it, as you have no part in your salvation. Neither do you. Can you be subject to the law of God? The carnal mind is hatred against God. And it's enmity against God. And neither can be subject unto the law of God. It can't keep the law of God. Neither does it want to keep the law of God. The unregenerated mind. But the regenerated mind is life and peace. The changed mind, the changed heart. Glory be to God. Amen?
Amen.
Paul uses a physical death to describe our spiritual condition. You see? And no man can bring himself back to life. These bones could not bring them back to life. God caused them to live. God gave them breath. And God causes us to live. And God gives us a new heart. And God gives us a new spirit. And makes us a new people. Makes us a new person. You don't have the ability to believe in God. You're dead. Amen? As these physical bones had no ability to bring themselves back to life. Neither does a spiritually dead person have faith to believe in God. You see, and neither can he make his own heart pure. It takes a supernatural act, a quickening of the Holy Ghost to change a man. God hath quickened. God saved us. God changed us. God chose us. Amen?
Amen.
And it's something you need to understand. Glory be to God. That you may boast in the Lord, that the strong man may not boast in his might, the rich man may not boast in his wealth, the mighty man may not boast in his strength, but he that boasts, let him boast in the fact that he knows the Lord. It is the Lord that does these things. And beloved, it's not going to be easy. There's battles. The Bible says we are so dependent upon Him. Satan, apart from Jesus Christ, as we saw in Ephesians, you're ruled by the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh and ruleth in the children of disobedience. They're ruled by a different spirit. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:26 that apart from Jesus Christ, that Satan takes you captive at will. Amen? He takes you captive at will. And if you go to Job, and that's what it's going to be like for you as a believer. Job is a type of a New Testament believer that had turned from evil. He was a righteous man that turned from evil and became a target of the wicked one because of his righteousness. And you're going to be a target. It's not going to be easy. You see? And you're dependent upon God and His power to fight your battles. The battle is not yours. The battle is God's. And if you look at Job chapter 1, you'll see the havoc. When God lets the hedge down in our lives, the havoc the wicked one can create. We are no match for him apart from the strength of the Lord, the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. The power isn't your own, the power comes from Him. And you need to understand the battle is not yours, it's His. And it's not fought with fleshly weapons, it's fought with spiritual weapons. He gives us armor, the Word of God, truth, faith, the sword of the Spirit, a helmet. Protect your thought life. You see, He gives us weapons, not carnal weapons, to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. But they're only strong in God. Mighty. The weapons are only mighty in Christ. That's why you need to seek after God. I mean, let's go to Job chapter 1. And look what happens when the Lord lets the enemy in, how much havoc this devil can wreak and how powerful he is in one day, what he does to this man. And without the armor of God, without the sword of the Spirit, without the power of God's might, without being strong in the Lord and seeking after God, He's going to take you captive at will. That's something else He wants you to understand. You must be strong in His sons. And He's looking down upon the children of men to see if there are any of them that understand this and seek after Him. You can't fight these battles in your own strength. Amen? The flesh profiteth nothing. Glory to God. And the restrainer, the Holy Ghost, will not be taken off the earth, but He will, His power will be pulled back. And He's going to give this planet over to the wicked one. And the ruler and the whore is going to make war with you. Do you understand that? How much you're going to need Him to be strong in Him. How dependent upon we are for Him for salvation, for eternity, for to bear fruit. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, and the same shall bring forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. You see, do you understand? He's looking down from heaven upon you to see if you understand. And He's looking for men and women that will seek after Him. Glory to God. Perilous times coming. Men lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. We've never lived in such a world that's so pleasure mad, and such a lover of self and divorce. And women aborting their children. What's colder than that? Jesus said that in the last days the love of many would grow cold. If ever we need God, it's now. If ever we need to understand our need for God and seek after Him, it is now. Glory be to God. Let's go to Job real fast. Because dangerous times are here. For perilous times are here. They're not coming, they're here. God's judgments aren't future, they're here. They're now. And you need God more than ever. You need His Word. You need His promises. Glory be to God. And you need to wait upon Him. You need to trust Him. Don't look at your problems. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the waves. Look unto God. Seek God. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. Hold fast to His promises, His covenant. It's impossible for Him to lie. You have a covenant. And every word, every promise He ever made will come to pass. It has to. It has to. He's coming. Glory to God. But before He comes, there are a lot of things that are going to happen. A lot of bad things. A lot of devastating things. A lot of destruction. A lot of death. Be prepared. Do you understand this? That you need Him. You're going to need Him to tell you where to walk, where to go, where to get food. Glory to God. You're going to need Him to raise you from the dead. Glory be to God. Job. Right before Psalm. Job chapter 1. I just want to show you why we're so desperately we need God in our battles against the wicked one. You hear so many people who say He's nothing, and to a degree He is defeated. And we do have power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And we do have all power over the enemy until God says it's time for you to be tried. Until God says it's time for you to be tested. Even Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil, to be tempted of the devil. He's going to let Him tempt you. He's going to let Him test you. You see? And you need to seek after God. You need to understand that as a new believer, you're going to be tested. Things are not going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to obey God and things are going to get worse. You're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. And you need to understand that. And you need to understand that the Lord is coming. Glory to God. Evil is getting worse and worse. Lovers of pleasures in the last days. Lovers of self. I don't think I've ever seen such a society. Lovers of self. 6 out of 10 marriages are ending in divorce. Why would a man leave his wife? Why would a wife leave their husband other than to seek out other sexual relationships? Or they're not happy. You see? They're not happy themselves. And there's nothing colder than walking out of a marriage, leaving your children, leaving your wife, leaving your husband. There's nothing colder, mothers, than aborting your children. And Jesus said these would be dangerous times would come. And well, they're here. They're here. Glory to God. Okay, Job. Here we go. In the verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God. He honors me, and he has turned from evil. He's repented and turned from sin. And when you turn from sin, and when you honor God and fear God, the devil is going to come after you. And there are going to be times when God lets that hedge down and lets him in. And you are no match for him. And the only thing you can do is seek after God and don't give up and hold fast to his promises. Amen? That the gates of hell shall not prevail. A covenant promise. Glory be to God. Then Satan answered the Lord, and doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance, and increased in the land. And he has increased in the land. Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil wants you to curse God. The devil wants you to curse God. That's his whole plan, is to get you to curse God. Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Who was that speaking through her? The devil right here says, take away all that he has and he'll curse you to your face. It's the only reason you're serving God is because of what He gives you. Well, you're going to be tested on that. And if that's the only reason you're serving God, you're not going to last. Amen?
Amen.
You have to love righteousness. You have to hate evil. Glory be to God. This is a man that loved righteousness and hated evil. Put forth thy hand now, touch all that he hath, he will curse you to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You see? All that he had, all that you had at times is going to be put forth in his hand. And it's God that's doing it. You see? You have to understand that. That it is a test. And you have to fall down. You have to worship God. That's what you do. When you find yourself in a storm and you've been obeying God, you've been seeking God, and you're not in sin, you're suffering for righteousness' sake, you just have to fall down and worship. Until it's over. Go in your house, shut the door, fall down and worship until the indignation be passed. And it will pass. Me, I've been in a 6-year test, a 6-year trial. Messengers of Satan buffeting my mind, buffeting my body. It's been horrible. But you just have to... But faith is being... Trust is being developed. Patience is being developed. Obedience is being developed. Glory to God. Power is being developed over these last 6 years. But he can only do so much. Only. All that he has is in your power, Satan. Only put upon him, not forth thy hand. You cannot kill him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking. Now listen to this. They were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans, which is a people, fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants only with the edge of the sword, and I only had escaped to tell thee. Now Satan stirred up these people to come against Job and to take all his cattle, to slay all his servants. He stirred them up to do this. This is the devil doing this. So he influences other wicked men. He can influence other wicked men. They can do. He can have other wicked men do whatever he wants them to do. Amen? And if God has let the hedge down, he can do to you whatever he wants to do. If, under the authority of God. You have to remember that the devil is under the authority of God. And we're not glorifying him in his power, but we're trying to show you and make you aware that apart from Christ, Jesus, you are no match for him. Now listen to this. And while he was yet speaking, there also came another, said, the fire of God has fallen and had burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped. So he had all his oxen and his asses taken away by these people, and then fire from heaven came down and consumed his sheep and his servants. And while he was yet speaking, came other Chaldeans. The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. All his servants are being slain by the sword. The Chaldeans are being stirred up. Peoples, nations are being stirred up to come against him. This is the devil doing these things. And while he was yet speaking, another sight, sons and daughters were drinking and wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of his house and fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee. And Job arose, tore his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down and worshipped. That is the only response. That is the weapon you use when the enemy comes in like a flood and wreaks havoc on your life, your home, your marriage, your kids, your job. You fall down and worship. You don't turn from God. You don't backslide. But you fall down and worship. You fall into his loving arms. Turn to him. Understand what is going on. My people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. That's why God is revealing this to us, so that you understand when these things happen. You see? And it's not God being angry at you. It's not God chastising you. But it's because of righteousness' sake. See, the New Testament, you're going to suffer for righteousness' sake. You're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. And naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives, and the Lord hath taken away. Bless the name of the Lord. Trust the Lord. He gave it to you. He take it away. Bless His name. Worship Him when these things begin to happen. But what I'm telling you, you need to understand that in your own strength, you can't fight these battles. In your own strength, you cannot overcome the wicked one. You are no match for the wicked one. And don't charge God foolishly. In all this, Job sinned not with his mouth or charged God foolishly. He didn't attribute all this wickedness to God. Don't attribute all these things to God. God loves you. God cares for you. And God will deliver you. Amen. But things like this are going to happen. It's not going to be easy. Amen. You become a target. When you begin to live righteously, you receive Christ. And you turn from evil, you repent. The enemy is going to try to sift you like wheat. And you know what? God's going to let him. Amen. But in that time, faith will grow. In that time, patience will grow. In that time, understanding and knowledge will grow. And you need to understand that God cares for you, and you need to seek after God, and you need to worship God, and you need to bless the name of God when these things happen. Amen. Don't charge God foolishly. Glory be to God. And the other thing you really need to understand is it's appointed unto a man once to die and judgment. And how can a man escape the damnation of God? Amen. Psalms 49 verse 20. A man in his honor and understandeth not is like a beast that perisheth. You see? He really has no wisdom. He doesn't understand his purpose, which is to glorify God, is to show forth his praise. And you can't buy, you can't purchase. You can't purchase your way. You can't redeem by your soul. You can't pay money for it. Amen? Everlasting life. There is not a price on everlasting life. There is not a price. Let's hit Psalm 49. You know, the man in his honor, in his wealth, in his power, he's no better than the beast if he doesn't understand that he needs God to save him. If he doesn't, he's like a beast if he doesn't understand that God has created all this. He's like a beast if he doesn't understand that everything that he has come forth from God. He's like a beast that perished. Psalm 49:5. There is no need to fear when times of trouble come, when enemies are surrounding me. They trust in their wealth and they boast of great riches. See, a rich man, a powerful man, when trouble comes, he does on this earth, he doesn't fear. He just buys his way out of it. You see that? His wealth gets him out of many trouble. But when a man dies, when a man dies and appears before the judgment seat of Christ, there isn't enough money in the whole universe to pay your way out of that. Amen? And if you don't understand that, you're no better than a beast. You see? And you're missing. You've missed it. You've really missed it. Look at this. There is no need to fear when times of trouble come, when enemies are surrounding me. They just trust in their wealth and they boast of their riches. Just get them out of it. Yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying money to God. Redemption does not come easy, for no one can ever pay enough. There's not enough money in all this world. And if you're a fool, Jesus said, if you spend your whole life pursuing after riches, and you're not rich towards God, you're a fool. Because there is a time when your soul is going to be required of thee. It is appointed unto a man once to die, then judgment. And Jesus says, if you store up all your treasures here, you are a fool. And you spend all your money and all your time pursuing this world's wealth. Jesus calls you a fool. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Listen to this. I like this. Redemption does not come easy. You can never pay enough to live forever and never see the grave. How can I never see the grave? Now there's a question. There's some understanding you need. How can I escape damnation? How can I escape the grave? Only by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are wise must finally die, just like the foolish and senseless, leaving all their wealth behind. You cannot take it with you. Glory be to God. They will not last long despite the riches. They will die like animals. I see. He's like a beast that perish. A man that, in his honor, that understands not that he's going to die. And that life is short-lived. See? A beast's life is short-lived. Our lives are like a vapor and are short-lived. Amen? And what have you done with the time? What have you done? Are you rich towards God? For they will die and carry nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. You know, and the world applauds people with this kind of a success. They applaud. But what people esteem highly is foolishness unto God. And you need to understand that there are more valuable things than money. There are more valuable things than a college education. And that is a biblical education. And that is time. God has chosen the poor who are rich in faith to inherit the kingdom. He's chosen the low. He's chosen the base. He's chosen the foolish to confound the mighty. Not many noble are called. Not many mighty are called. And the man in his honor that doesn't understand that he needs God And the whole duty of man is to keep the commandments of God, is to serve God. He's no better than a beast. He doesn't understand why he's here. He doesn't understand his purpose. He doesn't understand why he's living. You see that? And no power, no money, no college education can save you when you die, can redeem you from that grave. Only Jesus Christ, my friend, can raise the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And there is judgment, and you will give an account. You will give an account. Go to Luke 12, and we'll end here. I hope this is making sense. Luke 12. Glory be to God. Luke 12, 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. See, the world might hold that in high esteem, but God says God thinks it's an abomination. You have a lot of possessions, you have a lot of wealth, you have a nice house. But beloved, some of you worked hard, someone else is going to get those things when you die. There's no value. You cannot take it with you. It's going to burn in the judgment. This whole earth is going to be set on fire. It's going to burn. Amen. There's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. Do you understand how much you need God? And you need to seek after God. You don't need to be seeking after this world's wealth. Amen. You need to seek first the kingdom, His rule, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You need to store up for yourselves treasures on heaven. You need to understand. You need to be heavenly minded. You need to set your mind on things above, where Christ is. Set your mind on Christ. Think on Christ. Think on His Word. And He spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Never satisfied, neither is a beast. You see that? A rich man in his honor and understand has not God is like a beast which perisheth. See, they're never satisfied. The animal's never satisfied. I mean, a dog will sit there and eat till his belly is on the ground. Amen. And he thought within himself, "What shall I do? I have no room to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will build bigger. I will build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and goods. And then I'll retire. I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, yet eat and drink." All his focus is on the flesh. All his focus is on the world. I'm gonna live the good life. I've worked hard. Now I'm gonna live the good life. But you're going to die. And beloved, you do not know when that day is coming. And you're going to give an account. And God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? Labored for nothing. Built the bigger barns. Did all that work. Worried about all this stuff. Never got a chance to enjoy any of it. Someone else got it." That's what a rich man is like. He's just like a beast. Glory to God. He doesn't understand. He has no understanding. Whew. "Thy soul shall be required. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Thou fool, so is a man that lays up treasure for himself, that lives only for himself." If you're not living, see, an animal only lives for himself. You see that? That's another thing, a man in honor that understandeth not has in common with the beast that perisheth. They live for themselves. Glory be to God. And Jesus says they're fools. You can't live for yourself. You see, you need to understand you have to live for God's Son. And you have to understand without His mercy, without Him changing that nature, you can never do it. Without being born again, you can never even see the kingdom of God. Amen. But the good news is all those that He's ordained for salvation shall believe. They shall come. Amen. Not one will be lost. That's God's will. That all that He had given to Jesus, not one should be lost, and that all should come to salvation, and all should be raised up the last day. You see, the last day, Jesus doesn't come till the last day. The resurrection is not till the last day. It's not 7 years prior to the last day. The resurrection is not till the last day, the termination of time. And there's coming great trouble, there's coming great tribulation, and there's coming great persecution. Do you understand? Understand what? Do you understand that you need God? And you need to be seeking Him daily. You need to lay down your life. You need to pick up your cross. You need to be rich towards God. Don't be living for yourself. Live for God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.